I've lived a thousand lives. I've piloted a thousand souls. I've healed and fought and died just for another role.
This is the Happy Jacks RPG Podcast, a roundtable discussion that's a mix of friendship, humor, unbridled enthusiasm, and tabletop RPG topics sent in from around the world.
Just for another.
Hello, and welcome to Season 33, Episode 17 of the Happy Jacks RPG Podcast. My name is Kimmy.
I'm Clara.
And I'm Sam.
In today's episode, our topic today is micro-RPGs at gatherings, not LARPs, but like conventions and Wasteland Weekend and like Big Bag Con and like conventions that are not like, that have LARPs, but not during LARP time. So like role-playing games and like,
when you
just
stand
social
up,
things.
When you stand up while playing Monopoly.
Like stuff like that. And then we have emails. Eric from New Jersey made some rash GMing choices and needs ideas. And Beard Hair talks about how Play by Post has helped with TTRPG burnout.
Oh my goodness.
If you'd like to contribute a question or topic to the show, you can email us at happyjacksrpg@gmail.com. That's happyjacksrpg@gmail.com. Or you can post in the Discord in the mailbag channel. And you can find that at happyjacks.org/discord. Announcements. We have a Savage Worlds actual play GM'd by Ingi starting this week, April 4th. That's a Thursday. So they'll be doing session zero this week. A lot of really fun new faces that we met. Local conventions and stuff are popping up in that game. Some older faces that you were like, oh, hey, I've heard them for years on your live shows at the con. They were the sober one sometimes. Sorry. Clara was drinking, so I wanted to do a spit take
right there. Wow. I wear a mask. You can't make me do a spit take in a mask.
But anyway, so you'll enjoy that. I'm very excited about this campaign. It's going to be wild and fun. And then our next game days is May 18th, and you can join in that fun online gaming day at happyjacks.org/discord. There's already a couple games posted. It'll be great. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Indie Designer of the Month. Today is literally the last day of March. So we are still talking about Logan Timms. He, him, is a trans queer designer and the creative force behind Breathing Stories. You can find his stuff on breathingstories.itch.io, tumblr.com/breathing/stories-stories. And then at @ink_and_stories on Twitter. This week, we're going to talk about Whisper the Name of a Fairy. This actually is what inspired our topic this week, too. So,
my goodness.
Whisper the Name of a Fairy is a business side TTRPG supplement slash micro game.
Wait, a business card side?
Yes, it's these are made to go on business cards. I mean, we're going to talk about this a lot because I'm very fascinated with this particular thing right now. It is system agnostic and welcome any place where fairies are. I specifically picked this one also because Claire's here. So one side of the card says, when in dire need, close your eyes and whisper the name of a fairy. And then it has a list of different fairy names that are like kind of very evocative of the different types of fae you might meet.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other side of the card says, when the fairy arrives, wish from your heart and your wish is ... And then there's another options there, depending on the whims of the fae and the truth of the wish in your heart.
Ooh. So like it's an addition, like if we're playing like a game of D&D and like...
No, these are made... Card? No, these are made so... If you're not familiar, these are micro games. We're going to talk about them. They are made to play as you walk around. So you literally will take the card and like make a wish and like hand it to someone else and they'll decide what the fae is. And then you'll take that card and then take it to someone else. So they're all designed to play different ways. That's they're cool. Literally micro games.
Oh no, I'm going to be a nightmare. I'm about to become a nightmare. Yeah. Hold on.
So these are actually designed to actually have printed on business cards. You could also, like, you absolutely could probably tie it in and put it in a game as well.
Mm-hmm.
But most of these are designed to be just little, like, thought-provoking or story things that you do as you are in the world.
I'm certainly definitely not going on to itch right now.
Right? Yes. Anyway, so you can buy this particular one for $1 at breathingstories.itch.io. And that leads right into our topic. So I want to talk about RPGs, specifically these little micro RPGs. And I like the fact that you're both a little bit not familiar with them because I want people's like thoughts and opinions on them? And like, would you be weirded out if someone did this? Would it be interesting? Mm-hmm. What are some ideas of when? Because a lot of times they're tailored for the events. Mm-hmm. They usually are on like a 3x5 card or more often than not, like printed on business cards. So you'll get like a whole bunch printed. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about like them at like you're at WonderCon today, like regular, and that's how Samantha and I met, like yeah, cosplaying at conventions.
Yeah.
Like Ren fairs, gatherings, not LARPs, although you could very easily incorporate mm-hmm. these into LARPs too.
Yeah.
But places where maybe, and even like RPG conventions, TTRPG conventions, where people are used to role-playing when they're sitting at the table, not when they're like walking around yeah. and at the bar and stuff like that.
Feels very LARPy. I'm just like, it's real LARPy.
It's kind of like yeah. everyday LARP though.
Yeah. Which I'm not mad about, but like getting that... I like, it's a micro RPG. We're not just playing pretend. Like,
yeah.
Get on board.
And a lot of times, the ones I've seen, like, they add on. It's sort of like, I don't know, like, in the olden days, like, there would be, like, things where, you'd have, like, a book somewhere. And, like, I don't know if you guys have heard of this. And, like, people would go find it and add just part of a book, like, sign a book. Like, we used to have, like, there was, like, this abandoned, like, two-story...
Like geocaching, kind of?
I mean, but... I guess geocaching, they probably do it too.
Yeah.
But like, there was just like, I lived out in the middle of nowhere where there wasn't a lot to do. So we had this like abandoned town that really was like an old West thing. They'd locked it up. There was like a jail, but that like was like, it had a lock. And so you can actually get into the old jail.
Okay.
But there was like a book that was hidden there. I have no idea when. It was really old. And like, people would just go and like write in it. And like, people would like, right, they who they had crushes on, or so and so go fuck that. Yourself. And like, I mean, and people just get high or whatever, and then so it was just very strange. And it was like one of these things that like nobody knew why like a bunch of like asshole teenagers like us were like interested and like wouldn't just burn the thing. Like nobody ever did mm-hmm. though. It was just this thing yeah. that we all kind of had this shared thing of like kids had been doing it for at least 20 years. Like there was like a lot of it. I'm sure yeah. a lot of our parents had like written in it. Like, it was just, like, the strangest thing.
That's so cool.
It feels like a legendary object. Like, the opposite yeah. of a cursed object.
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you have to, respect it and use it for its intended purpose because, like,
yeah.
why would you not?
Right.
Yeah. It's clearly, like, a tome of some sort.
Yeah. So, one of my favorite ones of these is, I can't remember the company that did it. I should have done research before we started this episode. But there's one that has, like, a sword on it. And the company's, like, or the person who does it, like, stars is part of it. But, like, basically, you are an ancient weapon, like an ancient magical weapon. And it was like, who is the last person to wield you? What do you want from the next person who wields you?
Ooh.
So it's just, like, little questions. And you write it on the back of the card, and then you hand it off to the next person. And it just kind of is, like, a growing story.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah, and I've seen some, too, that aren't even, like... I guess it's not even a role-playing game. I've seen some that are more like just thought-provoking, like you and your friend both write wishes on one and then you tear it in half. And then like whichever one of you gets like the bigger half has to try and help make the other one's wish come true.
That's so cute.
It's also wholesome.
It is. I mean, I'm sure there's not wholesome ones out there, but all the ones I've yeah. seen are very interesting and very, I don't know. So I was kind of thinking about like you, I was thinking about you at WonderCon today, Clara. Because I was like, I'd love to go to WonderCon again. I need to go to WonderCon again. Like, what can
year.
I cosplay? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I was thinking, like, and I don't know how people in the real world would react to things like this, but, like a cosplay one where you, like, are building a superhero team and you just add, like, your name to it and then you pass it off to the next person and you're like, okay, we have a Wonder Woman and we've got a Jean Grey and we've got, and it's like people's like, and then you have, I don't know, maybe.
They kind of had this at Big Bad Con too, where like mm-hmm. if you were new or if you, like they had little missions that you could complete.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I'm getting on board. Sorry. Fenris is walking around and I love him so much.
fluffy dog.
Just a big fluffy boy. Yeah. No, I've seen it a lot for like team building stuff where mm-hmm. the icebreaker thing, like, find mm-hmm. someone who, like, over the summer, like, find someone who left the country over the summer and
yeah.
you have to sign it off and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I love that shit. Like, I've never seen it, like, in a role play kind of setting. But I also have friends. I have, like, the friend group I have is unwelcome at every Denny's. Like, like, that's just the people I roll with. So, like, this energy already just kind of comes with my friend group. So I don't know that having more to it is going to make us a more welcome at Denny's?
No.
Did that make feel sense? A little bit like kind of how my friend group communicates anyway.
Yeah, that's part of it. Is like, I just don't know that we're going to get more or less creative.
But maybe for people who aren't on this all at the same time, it might be a useful tool.
Honestly, it does. So I have a friend who does once a year for midwinter, we do a little parlor LARP. Mm. And all of our friends are invited and some of us play. Like if you've ever been to a murder mystery dinner party or whatever, some people just aren't going to buy in as much as you, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And I feel like something like this does kind of push that more. My friends, like our midwinter LARP thing also kind of has this like, some people just get little missions because they really need little missions. Mm-hmm. And some of us go really hard the other direction and role play and forget we had a goal. Mm-hmm. And so like, I love the idea of like the hardest part about starting with new role players is always going to be honestly the volume of choice they have rather than just like, it happens every time I play with new players. I'm like, what do you want to do? And they're like, I can do anything. And I'm like, yeah.
Too many options.
Yeah, too many options. Mm-hmm. So like, I really do like this like, yeah, let's like, here's a little wish. Figure out if you can feel it. It also reminds me of a game we used to play called Bigger or Better, where all the, like when I would go to sleepovers, we would all get pennies, or like we would break into teams and we'd get, like each team would get a penny and you ran up and down the street and you had to trade the people in these poor houses. Like, oh man, this is a very strange game now to describe it. You'd knock on doors and you'd be with your friends and you go, I have a penny and I need to trade it for something bigger or better than a penny. And people would trade us. And so then you'd leave with like, they give you a book and you'd go to the next house. And you're like, I have a book and I need to trade for something bigger or better than a book. And you would go down the row of houses trading. I'm like, I started that game with a penny and have left with a bike.
Whoa.
And some people just like want to get rid of stuff.
Yeah. No, 100%. I have a lot of things. Here's a bookshelf.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Please take it.
Yes. And really, yeah, no, it kind of gives that vibe. I would super play something like Bigger or Better at a con and be like, I need something bigger or better.
Yeah.
It would be weird.
I'm super fascinated by like the group story element of it. Like, especially, I think that's why the one about the sword really speaks to me. And I'd be very interested of like, and I guess this is the beauty and the art of it of like, you never know what the next part of the story is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But part of me wants to know the next part of the story. So like, how could you do this? Maybe it's like, I don't know. If you're at a con, like you couldn't like be like, log in and add your thing. But like, maybe it's a hashtag you use or something. I don't know. Like where I would be super fascinated to know, okay, I said this about my time as the sword. I wonder what the next person says. Ooh. Or like, and then like, you can just like add yours to the story somehow. Yeah. Or maybe it is like you write it on the back of the card. And then at the end, you leave the card somewhere else so the person who started it can find it. Or I don't know. Like I sort of want to like tweak it. Like Happy Jacks and like Foxy Boggers, my wives, we used to have coasters that we'd give out, like beer coasters.
We're doing it again.
I know. We always do it. But yeah. I like part of me, like, I don't know, maybe we should make like a Happy Jacks like mini RPG and like leave, like have it something to do with coasters or something.
Honestly, that'd be cute. And then, I want to like, get that bar napkins.
Yeah. There you go. Something like that. And like leave it around the con and then have people just like take pictures of whatever they wrote and like upload it somewhere or share it. I don't know.
Yeah. They could just tag Happy Jacks in it.
Yeah. There you go. That's true.
Collate them. My friend did this fun thing. There's a lot of this kind of at Wasteland and Neotropolis.
Like, I was going to say.
You can get missions from like so many of the different factions and like everything from like small little tiny like mini games to like you can become the Pope of
wow.
of the Restorationists. I think there's only the one Pope at Wasteland right now.
But there could be multiple Popes.
I mean, if somebody else made their own cult that had a pope, then yes.
if you will.
But my friend, he got this little, like, disposable camera, like the old school kind.
Oh, yeah.
The point and shoots. Mm-hmm. And, like, kitted it out so it looked post-apocalyptic and put, like, Return to Last Rites, which is their faction name.
Yeah.
And then sent it out into the wasteland to see, like, what pictures would come back.
That's amazing.
And we were like, we're going to hit so many butts.
Yeah,
so many butts.
There were.
Really?
No, people, like, legitimately, like, took cute photos and, like, it, like, made it, like, around a lot. And it didn't come back to him at the event, but he posted online after and was like, hey, if anybody found this or who it ended up with, would really like to get it back, and they sent it back to him. It was really cool.
That's amazing.
Really cool. Yeah. Maybe I'll do that at Fair. I'll just get like five cameras and send them out. Because I know Wasteland. I know Neo. I have friends who have a thing for Neotropolis, and like they send out little missions. Mm-hmm. I think that's all super.
One of my favorite ones from last year at Neo was there was this package delivery company.
That's what
Yes. Oh my God, I love their quest was so good.
They're so
cute. I didn't end up finishing it, but it was rather involved. Mm-hmm. But you could deliver packages, and the underlying thing was like eventually you could get spoilers indoctrinated into their brain slug cult.
Nice.
They would install a brain slug for you. But they had like this kind of like head massager thing, and they would like put it on your head. They're like, this is your induction so you can become a package delivery person. And they put this thing on your head, and they talk to you very soothingly about like, what is your last good memory? Oh yes, we remember that too, because they're like a collective consciousness of
that's amazing.
It was hilarious.
Uh-huh. They're so fun.
It was so good.
So
wait a minute. Just pausing for just a second. So those people who are not like deeply entrenched in the cosplay costuming, the beings that are in Southern California, because there's a lot of different like circles that cross in Venn diagrams fashion. What is Neotropolis and what is Wasteland Weekend?
So having been going to Wasteland Weekend for over a decade, it's always on my birthday. Wasteland Weekend, it used to be a weekend. Now it's like a week. But it is a post-apocalyptic festival in the desert. It's not a music festival. There is music. It's not a LARP. You can do quests and stuff. But it's just everybody goes and pretends it's the fake apocalypse in the desert. And it's real dumb and it's really fun.
Yeah. There's like a whole Mad Max like car show thing.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much. It's basically like
film quality car.
Yeah.
Amazing. Like really good.
People go nuts. Yeah.
It's an immersive experience.
It is an immersive experience.
Is the terminology they're trying to use now.
And so 2 years ago, the same people that put that on started a cyberpunk event called Neotropolis, which is kind of along the same lines, but everything is obviously themed futuristically. So it's nice for costume making because you don't have to make everything grungy and disgusting looking. It can be new
and glow.
And glow and shiny.
Yeah.
Someone, as soon as someone does Wasteland, but it's fairies, I'm in. Like that, like I already do the SCA. Like that's the push I need.
I feel like that's Ren Faire now.
Yeah, but like Ren Faire still has like maybe you'd have to tell it to me and describe it because I don't do Wasteland. My partner is also a decade, like been doing it for a decade. But like Ren Faire has like the mall kind of aspect to it. Like it is very, it's very curated. And what I want is Wasteland, but I don't have to be in the desert.
Yes.
I am not naturally a desert dwelling person, but I
couldn't tell with the red hair.
I mostly come out at night.
Yeah. I feel like that's the whole vibe of Wasteland Weekend.
Yeah.
I spend most of the day going, why am I here? This is awful. And then at nighttime, I'm like, oh, I love it here. This is the best. And I don't want to leave.
Amazing. All right. Anyway, so that was my little like, it's interesting to hear about the quest. Like I hadn't thought about that, having not gone myself.
There's a whole bounty hunting system where you can sign up to like if you want to hunt other people, you actually also have to submit yourself as a bounty. And then so like people are like, they can just choose your bounty and like come after you and you'll end up in the jail. It's great.
I want to like set up that whole like thing as like a business card, like RPG at a con somewhere.
They do it at Bicoline too, which is the LARP in Canada where you have a bounty board. And yeah, that's the same thing as like you can be a bounty.
Some people like get really into it too. My friend TJ won like a replica sniper rifle from this guy whose bounty. He like wanted his bounty to be super, super difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, anybody that actually manages to catch me can have this.
Well, why did he, how did he make it? I have to know how he made it difficult now. Like,
I mean, he sounds like he's probably a prepper.
Yeah.
Because I don't do the bounties. I don't 100% remember how they work. Mm-hmm. But it's basically you have to just like find the person and then I think you rock, paper, scissors to see who wins.
Oh, I have heard about this, yes.
Okay.
Wild.
That tracks.
But yeah, no, I think that it would be fun, especially for everyone who is gamers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, little missions to make boring things more interesting, very fun all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
All right.
That's a fun little topic.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you want to go look for all these amazing micro games, go on Itch, because... wow, there's so many cool ones.
I'm so excited. The next itch, inebriated itch session.
Yes. Oh, yeah. All little business card games. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Mailbag number one. Who would like to read this? Because I've been talking a lot.
I can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All hail Kimmy and the 1D3 other hosts of Happy Jacks. That's us. I like it. I write with a sense of urgency here because I made some rather rash decisions GMing my D6 Star Wars campaign. The smuggler crew of PCs are on the planet Yelstane. I probably pronounced that wrong. Which is another of those planets where the life on the ground is so dangerous, people live in the trees. That's nice. Except instead of Wookiees, it's anarchists.
Yeah. Yay.
Seriously, they are known for having moots to decide things and generally don't have a government. Sounds lovely.
Nice.
Well, they also have a rebel presence there. The PCs delivered both heavy weapons to a contact, and they also delivered a band, which they now realize that this particular band is banned by the Empire. One of the players discovered the one member of the band is force sensitive, like he is, and they talked about how they avoid the High Inquisitor that has plagued the area.
Am I reading this like a musical band?
I think so.
Yeah, that's amazing. So the band that is banned.
That is banned, yes.
Is a musical band. Okay,
yes.
That's amazing.
Verboten musical band.
Yes. Verboten ensemble.
Yeah. Well, that's a good band name. Yeah.
The band?
Yeah.
Yeah, the anarchist band in the trees. I'm here for this.
Some players want to run. There. Oh, wait. Well, all the PCs went to the concert of the band, and as they were finishing up, the Star Destroyer Interrogator came into orbit. That's how I ended the last session. Some players want to run. The Mandalorian player really wants to fight, obviously. So does the homicidal Ewok with a rock. I love it immediately.
That's my character type.
No, this isn't a rock band. This is literally a rock.
Literally a rock. What a vibe. Anyway.
Now I want an Ewok rock band, too.
But literal.
Literal rock band. Yeah. And rock band.
Anyway, I am trying to rack my brain to make the fight interesting in terms of something other than just a standoff between troopers and the PCs. I've been writing for a LARP a lot and it has fried my brain a bit, and I'm coming up blank for Star Wars. They would be fighting on platforms in the trees. Being Star Wars, some of these platforms would be huge. I imagine one part of the fight being with anti-aircraft guns needing to be repaired and fired, stormtroopers advancing on the position, and TIE fighters screaming overhead. I'm just looking for other ideas. Any help would be welcome. As always, stay happy, stay tipsy, and stay diverse. Yours in Cthulhu, Eric from New Jersey.
Eric. I feel like it, I don't know, like, I feel like a battle of the bands might be too obvious. I think it's because I've been to Disneyland too many times and I've seen like the shows where it's like where they have like the little musical and it's like Rey singing. It's not really Rey. It's like the actress who plays Rey at the parks.
Is it not Rey at the parks?
What?
What?
And then like there's always like the little like kids and then like Vader comes in and like scares the kids and the kids pretend like they have the force and he's like, oh, I'm scared away. And then like the stormtroopers come in and they do like a dance. It's very weird.
I love seeing when the dance kids side with the dark side.
It's my favorite thing.
It's so cute every time. Yeah.
And they do it often enough that all the actors know exactly what to do. There's like literal scripts for this.
For sure.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's too offbeat for your game, but
I kind of want to see a moment where the band, because they're rebels also, like maybe they have like secret compartments in their like musical instrument cases and they pull out weapons or like their musical instruments like deconstruct into a weapon.
Oh yeah.
I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
It's hard when like, I'm going to get real weird about this for a second, but like long walk, short drink, I'm sorry. The Star Wars mode of there are rebels, they're getting chased, and this will and the Tom and Jerry will continue chasing each other for the end of time, kind of in your Star Wars game until you make it to the movies. I can see how it can get stale. Changing the goals of a situation, like why are they banned? Just because they're rebels? Do they have something on them that needs to be protected more than the band does?
Yeah.
Do they need is one of the band members the asset that you need to protect, a la like Firefly and your river? Is this a so like giving an alternate goal to something is always like the first, like just twist it, just move it around, and it makes fighting it makes combat more interesting, because then you just get, instead of it just being like, and we kill them until they're dead, especially if there's a Star Destroyer in the air, like just say, like, make the goal disable the Star Destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, make the goal setting up the little satellite dish that's made out of sound equipment and band and instrument parts. that you can disable the Star Destroyer sort of stuff.
I like that. Just, and that like, way, like, there could be even, like, multiple ways to end the fight other than just kill all the bad guys.
Yeah.
It's like, you could disable the Star Destroyer. You could escape with this person who is the asset. Like, there could be multiple different goals that you don't have to necessarily meet all of them. Mm-hmm. But if you meet, like, X number of them, mm-hmm. then the fight ends and you move on with the scene.
Oh, yeah. And having multiple win conditions is so fun.
Yes.
Especially if it's like, you need to disable, you have to escape, and there's a MacGuffin. And if they get two of the three, like, how does that change the story is always really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Personally, I think because I've just sort of, like, hyper-focused on what you're saying, I've also been thinking about The Wild Sea. It's a game for a while that, like, I've been hanging out with Ray a lot, who published that game, so we talk about it a lot. But it's basically like Waterworld, except instead of water taking over the world.
I want to play this game.
Yes, it's a verdant green, like basically, so this like living, verdant, powerful forest has taken over. And basically it's like the verdant punk, like verdant apocalypse, like
tree punk. Love it.
Yeah. So basically it's like there's an apocalypse and like nature won. So humans live on the top of what used to be mountains and they're like islands basically. But there's a lot of this in there where, like, people live in the treetops and then there's just terrifying shit below that you just don't want to fuck with. And
I don't know about this game. Did I know about this game? Just didn't know.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's amazing.
Adding it to my list.
Yeah, it's over there. We'll show you. But
forest like, full of nightmares. Why would that be my thing?
Oh, no.
But, like, some of it is, like, so cool. Like, one of the things is, what do they call it? Like, it's a wolf. Like, the animals are familiar but have, like, adapted. So it's like one of the things that's the scariest is like, I forget what it's called, but it's like a needle wolf. And it basically is like a wolf, but it has like spear, like needle feet.
Like a porcupine. Oh, no.
So no, because so it can clear. So it can like an insect climb. Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
So it like can climb trees really fast. And it's very terrifying and scary and amazing.
I love it.
So part of me is like, okay, like, and I know it's a little bit of a bait and switch and not all playgroups would love it, but maybe like, okay, the fight like starts. And, like, something big goes down, like, one of the platforms collapses and goes, like, deep into the trees. And some big, scary-ass fucking thing comes up because he's pissed that you, like, wrecked his house down there or whatever it is. And then suddenly it's, like, all the stormtroopers and your party and the band or whoever else is just like, oh, no, this is our enemy right now.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, the truce, let's fight this thing. And then, like, after that, they have to kind of, like, navigate otherwise.
Yeah, you can escape in the chaos. You can...
Yep.
Let the thing. My brain said Bantha, and I cannot remember what Banthas look like.
No. The Banthas are the elephants that they covered with
the curly cute horns.
I stand by my statement.
It is big, but it's not real mad.
That's scary.
You could have an angry Bantha. I don't do Star Wars. No.
It's okay.
But like you could have. But like, that's the thing is like you can escape under the chaos, or you could just like have the players like. Listen, you can make an animal friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. Maybe angry. Maybe who knows what the players will come up with. Maybe like the bandmate who's like force sensitive, like bonds with the terrifying bullshit thing.
Doesn't like the level up powers on the light side of the force just give you animal handling?
That's the Edge of the Empire game,
okay.
Which is not the same one they're playing.
Okay.
I think they're playing the West End Star Wars, which is the D6 one.
Looks like D6 Star Wars.
Yes, yeah. I think. I love that's. Legit, one of my favorite Star Wars, honestly. It's really? A really old system, but it's really good.
Consider importing in the Edge of the Empire mechanic where you get animal handling.
I didn't play Force Sensitive in the West End Games one, so I have zero knowledge about how that plays, but yeah. Also, if you want to look for terrifying creatures that go in forest like planets, Wild Seas. Really terrifying.
That sounds very cool. I need to look at that immediately.
Yeah.
I was also going to say, just in general, like having variety in the like antagonists, because you don't just have like stormtroopers and the Star Destroyers at your disposal. Like, because I'm thinking about like the maps where you play in Battlefront, where you're on the forest planets, you have the AT-ATs, you have stormtroopers, you have different types of troopers, you have the little intel robots that come in, and like kind of how your strategy has to change is based on which of those is kind of like spawning in your area.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different like Empire bad guys that you can use to kind of like keep it fresh so you're not just like killing wave after wave of stormtroopers that can't hit anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also an interesting, like that kind of also as you're looking at other other baddies, like made me think of like tying in backstory from the players. Like maybe like the commander of whatever troop it is ends up being someone's friend from when they were kids or something like that. So suddenly it's like you've got this moral conundrum. And maybe there's an opening for them to like turn this leader to pretend like they never found them. Or there's a lot of role play opportunities there that can be a lot of fun to play with. And that's also, even if they can't do it, even if it's like, okay, we're going to shoot. And he's like, oh, have this big like nemesis somewhere in the empire who maybe still loves you or who knows, like maybe they hate you even more now because... So I love that drama too. That's always fun to weave in there.
Yeah.
And just, and again, like even if it ends up being stormtroopers, there's a little bit more interest and emotion and relevance to it than just.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And also using the environment itself as an enemy. I think that's one of the more interesting things that I've noticed in Baldur's Gate as I've been playing is like, sometimes you go into that turn-based mode and it's like the environment has a turn. And I'm like, oh no, what's it going to do?
Yeah.
So it's like you're in the treetops. So like, what effect is the firefight having on the forest around you? Then like, if there's burning trees, that can become yeah. an antagonist for the fight, like because you have falling timber and flames.
Oh yeah.
That's really
so,
cool.
So yeah, use the environment as a bad guy.
Yeah.
Before you finished with like the environment has a turn, my brain was like, they're on platforms, just start pushing people off.
Honestly,
foolproof every time.
See, I went full Ent. I was like, oh God, the trees are alive.
I mean, okay.
They said moot, and I'm blaming the Ent moot. Yes, that's the thing. I've been thinking Ent ever since the word moot appeared in the email.
Hell yeah.
That would be amazing.
Listen, if it's not a planet, they can't know everything about the Star Wars universe. Make something up that's good.
I feel like it's very Star Wars canon for like something giant to randomly try to eat you, though.
There's always a bigger fish.
There's always something big that's going to be like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just me. Hopefully these wild ideas have been helpful.
We threw out a lot. Yeah. Hopefully one thing.
We've really enjoyed it.
So. I really hope your players also listen to the podcast.
I mean, maybe...
Yeah, well, then they just can be, then don't do anything weird.
Mm-hmm.
And if they listen to it, don't do anything weird and just be paranoid the whole time.
Oh, that's not terrible.
That's a dick.
like suddenly, like, they think that, okay, they're going to come down, they're going to attack. And then suddenly, like, nope.
It's nothing.
It just flies off. The interrogator's just, like, pauses for a little bit and is like, and then fucks off. And they're just like, what was that? Like,
it's almost worse.
Yeah. Who did they leave on the planet? Who's after us now? Like,
The old GM trick of rolling a die for no reason.
Basically, yeah. I mean, you have to come up with a good reason. Like, maybe the Inquisitor is like, hey, I can take care of this. Fuck off. Or maybe another Inquisitor got dropped. And now there's two or three of them, like, on the planet.
Yikes.
And it's just like, oh, no, we'd rather have the Star Destroyer, please. Can we have the Star Destroyer back? We don't want a bunch of... No, thank you. No Inquisitors. So,
I love that.
Yeah. Oh, see, now I want to go watch Clone Wars right now. Or Rebel.
We're so good. We have one more email.
Oh, yeah.
We're plowing through these, actually.
Pretty good. Okay. All right.
Does that mean I have to do it?
Yeah. You have to read.
Damn it. I avoid them so often. Also, I have to say, I've never been so tickled more than I have by 1D3.
Yeah. That was
delightful.
Okay. Hello again, Happy Jack. A quick-ish mini rant about how great play-by-post PvP has been for my feelings about TTRPG burnout. A quick bit of background. This is stuff I wasn't aware of until I started digging into what it was, or could be, meant by PvP. I say PBTA so often.
Yeah,
it's gonna kill me. The PvP I've been playing is asynchronous via web forums. With one forum per game, players posting to the forum to describe their PC's actions and words. A commonly requested posting frequency is one post per player per day. Games are typically much slower than synchronous games, example, in person or online via voice or video. The games I've played have all been hosted at gamersplane.com, a site dedicated to PvP TTRPGs. How dare you? Running many different systems that gave me a warm welcome and where I found lots of fun, engaged, thoughtful, kind players. I think what's so good for me, what's helping me with my feelings of anxiety and confidence around playing TTRPGs, is linked to the slowness of these games. I think part of my nerves, something that often stops me from either GMing or playing, comes from feeling like I need to respond quickly to a situation when I play in person or via voice/video. And I have so much more time to contribute when play by post that this to playing isn't really there anymore. And that feels so liberating. But it's not just the removal of a stress barrier. It's also about what happens when the extra time and space is available in the game. My experience has been that it can often make a space for a much more thoughtful, involved, consistent, vibrant roleplay of the characters, help players and GMs engage more deeply in backstories, relationships, lore, and to build things more collaboratively. Playing Death in Space, I know I wouldn't have been able to come up with the sibilant snake-like Sanjo, part snake, part Chirrut, part toothpick crown void spirit in the moment.
Amazing.
I've been able to spontaneously weave the threads of the Pixies song into the developing story while playing the Black Tower hack. So if that particular fear is something that you struggle with, if seeing that come out of a game is something that you really enjoy, maybe you'll also find something fun and different about and exciting in play by post as I have. I've just avoided saying PvP now. I'm also curious, host, have you done any PvP play? If so, would be great to hear about your experiences, whether there were things about it that you really enjoyed or found really frustrating. Beard hair on the Discord.
Yes, I've done a lot of.
I was going to say, you started there.
Yeah. And well, there's a little bit of a difference too. Like role-playing boards don't generally go, like they're just role-play.
Yes.
Like it's much more, like there's not mechanics of any kind. Mm-hmm. You just role-play back and forth. Mm-hmm. You describe scenes. A lot of us, I think, got started in that world, like when the internet was young.
And we're opening up some really deep cuts here.
I mean, honestly, I think that's a lot, like, at least for me and a lot of my friends at the time, like we were in like junior high when like the internet became a thing. Oh, like suddenly we all started getting the AOL discs in our mailboxes. Yep. And it took us all a while to get our parents to be like, okay, yeah, we'll do the thing. And then I think a lot of us stumbled upon that type of thing first. Like, I mean, other than the dirty things that we were like, oh God.
But, yeah, porn and play by post role playing.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they were. And yeah, and like all that stuff. So I think like that was my first experience with like typing out and becoming a character, other than like being in plays and stuff like that. But that was like my real first experience of becoming a character and typing things out and planning what my character is going to do next and responding to other people online and stuff like that. And I think there's always been a part of me that's really liked the pace of that. It is a little odd sometimes when you do as much in-person role playing as we do to like change pace. But like Beardo was saying in the email, there is a part of it that gets a lot more thoughtful. So I've done, we used to do these back on the old Happy Jacks forums back in the day. There's a bunch of them that were run there or were organized there and run like somewhere else. But I've done like an L5R one. Starscape had one going for a little while, but did not last very long. I just couldn't, it didn't have time with it. But part of me does kind of wonder, like, would 15 minutes of it, like a day, like be more manageable than 4 hours a week, like in one sitting?
Maybe.
I'm like, I wonder if like it's like at that point it becomes something like a habit, like a journaling activity or something like that, which I never do. But if other people, like if it was interactive, I think, I don't know, like the micro RPGs you're talking about earlier, I feel like I might be more interested in doing it than if it's just like, no, I'm not going to write in my journal tonight. I'm going to go like scroll on Reddit for 5 more minutes. Yeah.
It's always easier for me, like a habit like that when it involves another person. Because I will be terrified of inconveniencing them. So I'll keep up with it better. Where like just writing in my journal or whatever, it's like, I'm only disappointing me. That's fine.
It's an accountability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Also Kimmy defending me on my read. Let's be clear. I don't read out loud very well. Full stop. Listen, I also came from the Go Gaia online world of post. Or yeah. Like forum role playing because, you know, I'm a filthy nerd. But like, I feel like on my end, when I've done them, I want people to respond so much faster.
Yeah.
So I have the opposite problem where everyone's like, oh, it's great. We get to go at a leisurely pace. I'm like, no, get with the story. I want to go. I want more.
Yeah.
So I find the pace actually very frustrating.
I can do that.
But like, because I will always want to do more of the thing I'm enjoying doing. Mm-hmm. So like, I do love the collaborative, slow storytelling that comes from a forum-based kind of thing. I have had friends with whom we'll do role-playing sessions through Discord, which is super easy, or like letter writing stories. If you're not going to go full like play by post with a GM, letter writing games are really good for that.
Yeah.
It's not Dominion. There was a tabletop game that was like Risk that was being played. It was basically World War One, and everyone picks a country and you just play the country.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And we started playing it at the beginning of the pandemic, and it was just all of us as countries emailing each other to play this game. And it was savage for a while. But anyway, the point being that like I understand that satisfying collaborative narrative thing that comes that you really can only do well, I feel like, if you're writing.
Mm-hmm.
Or that rather you have the chance to do more care. It's a little slow for me, but I do like it.
Yeah. I think that's kind of where I would fall on it too. I actually haven't done any of that. I did not do any online role playing in my young days because that involved talking to other humans, even if they were on the internet. And I didn't like that. Still don't very much. I like you guys. But I think the pace would probably be a little bit frustrating for me, especially after playing so many in-person games. But I do really appreciate the like having time to think aspect of it, because I think that's like the stress aspect of it. Like for a lot of TTRPG players, a lot of us are neurodivergent and have anxiety. So being put on the spot to like come up with something, it's like sometimes when you ask me a question, like, what bands do you like? I've literally never heard of a band. I can't think of any at all right now. It has fled from my mind. Mm-hmm. But like when you have it like written in front of you and you have time to like think and respond, it's like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Now I can like use all of this knowledge that I sometimes don't have access to in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way I've worked best with it, and in the past, and we actually did this when I was online role-playing too, is a lot of times back in the days when I was role-playing an elf on an MMO, like we'd have our big role-playing events that we did. And then people would go to our forum and have like quieter one-on-one role-playing moments.
Mm, nice.
So, and I've seen that work with Play by Post too, where you actually are playing an in-person game, and then you go, instead of doing like, you know, having everyone sit there through like a conversation that maybe doesn't need a GM or maybe needs the GM for just a minute, because those things are really interesting for like actual plays. They're not always interesting if like, okay, we have one day a month where we all get to role play together. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spend 45 minutes with the two of you discussing your relationship, as interesting as that would be. You know, it's going to be 4 more weeks till we can play again.
Yeah, like, yeah, let's get to the meat of it.
Yeah, and I've seen kind of a combo play by post for quieter moments or off screen moments or in between moments work really well at partnered with in-person play too, which
that's
is
really fun. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do that. God, take a drink at my LARP. What, my main LARP, we do that. So there is an online forum, an online Discord where you can interact and kind of post there. And then we have our game once every other month or so. So you have this like push and pull of like, if you're really that chronically online, you can do the full forum stuff and continue having those moments as if these characters live between every month. And like the pipe dream is sort of the same thing. Like I would love to be able to have a Discord hub where all the characters can have those little interactions. It does fuck with time.
Yeah.
Like, if you only meet once a month, but you're able to exist in between that time, then is it like, if you stop, you can't stop at a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah.
But it is nice to be able to have these like side, because like you can kind of fill out stuff that wouldn't necessarily be interesting on screen or like timing, like you said, because then everyone doesn't feel like the need to be pushing those story elements. Also, it's written down.
Yeah.
And then the GM can look at it because it's written down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And suddenly they have to answer for that.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. A good GM will weave all that in. Absolutely. And we've done it like even like not actually play by post, but like just adding writing stories. We did this for Gene X, the game Jib ran. Like we all just went off in the Happy Jacks forum. I think it was like the last days of the Happy Jacks forum. But like we just went off, like Abria and me and all of us, like writing bits between our characters, and they weren't even play by post. It was literally like just us writing like what happened, like having our fanfic moments of ourselves. Like, aww, it was really interesting. Like like Mike and I, like our characters were like in love. So, but like we wrote, it was like push pull because we'd had a really bad breakup in the past. Mm. So we wrote like, we never really like talked about it, like what really happened. We just like kept hinting at it. So then we wrote this back and forth thing where we wrote like the breakup and it ended up being terrible.
Oh, no.
Like, the worst, like, because it was like we had powers. It was basically like the X-Men.
Yeah.
And like his family was like basically, it was basically mutant haters. And like I came to dinner and they like figured it out. And like, even though he had powers, they were like accepting of that. And it was just like this thing where I felt like rejected and like, it was just like the most awful breakup ever.
Oh, no.
Like just these two young people who were so in love who just like hated each other and then like came back years later and then like, oh man. And then a breeze. It was just like so messy and amazing. And none of it was like organized play by post. There were no mechanics in it. We literally just like made this shit up. But it was very like harkening back to my olden days of like role playing online. But it really added like a lot at the table.
Yeah.
Like suddenly we had this shared understanding. You could almost watch AP and realize when suddenly we knew exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And this, oh, I can't believe it. Like we'd kind of vaguely refer to it. And then suddenly it was like dinner that night. And there was just
nothing
like,
that happened.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, so I don't know. It can add like a whole layer. You know, we always joke about the person who writes that 3-page backstory that nobody ever reads. Yeah. If you're doing it in like kind of a back and forth interactive between everyone their way, then you can weave in all those little details that would have been in your 3-page backstory that you typed and nobody ever read. But like people are reading it because it's like interactive. Like you drop that, you know, if you're writing, you know, the two of you having pints after your last big battle and like then maybe you, you know, have that moment where you shared something. So I don't know. There's a lot of extra richness it can add to, I think, to any campaign.
Oh, for sure. I also, I think Good Society has the epistolary period. And that also kind of gives that vibe of like between sessions, you can write to people. And so it's not quite your like play by post vibe, although it could be. But like being able to send letters to people is so powerful and like, especially if you're in a setting where you're on a long journey, because it's weird that you left home and never write to your parents. Like, I guess if everyone's parents are gone, then that's fine. But like, as so many TTRPG player characters are, but like, yeah.
I love that. That's interesting. I wonder why more RPGs don't have that as like a mechanic.
Well, so now I'm thinking about it. Like, my Hallowedhaven is doing a Hunter's game and like the people in their world still exist. I know one of the things that Aaron likes to say over at Queen's Court about Knights Black Agents and Delta Green, part of that energy is it's about the relationships you have outside of the agency that like get strained because of your work. So they exist.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's also such a simple thing that you can throw into a game that like, even Vampire has your touchstone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you might, like, if these resources exist, you should fuck with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so many of them don't have, like, a clear, like some of them do, and a lot of PBTA games, you're right, like, have that touchstone. And, and, like, I mean, there's a lot of things that have something similar, but just a mechanic where it's, like, you know, at the end, just you write a letter home or something like that. I don't know. I feel like that's...
And like, if you're playing a game that doesn't have it, give people a Benny.
Yeah.
If they write home.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, like I have a Hallowedhaven, if you get XP for writing in your journal.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God, journal mechanics, do that. Like, get a Benny. If you write home, your mom can send you a sweater.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I'm like, such a hypocrite. Like, now if for something like that, yes. If it was just like a journaling thing, I'd be like, no.
It would be hard for me. I've tried to do it before. It's always hard. But like, I will say, if you're the kind, if like you want to encourage people to do the between game stuff or like a slow style, incentivize it. But also, I do think it is funny to like kind of, if you write to your grandma and your grandma writes back, like maybe she sends you a magic item. Like,
yeah, that would be super cute. I love the sweater idea. Yeah, maybe it's just something like little, like that. You get some muffins. Yeah,
you get muffins. That's cute.
Yeah. Like, to be honest, though, like, we, like, way back and when we first started the Patreon, like, one of the rewards was, like, there was, like, journal, like, we did, like, individual character, or not characters, but, like, players kept, like, journals, and sometimes it was in character, sometimes people just did, like, reflections on the sessions, and, like, we didn't get to see each other, so the GM could see them all, and then the Patreons could see them all.
Ooh. How fun.
Even that was really hard to get anybody to do.
Yeah.
It's hard if you're not, playing on stream is really hard, because if I'm paying attention to streaming, my face is towards the camera and the mics. Mm-hmm. And if I'm being me and a gremlin, my face is in the paper and my elbows are up as I'm writing really fast. And that's not good video content, which means it cuts down a lot of my doodling time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, note-taking. That thing.
Your doodles are beautiful. Both
Thank
of you.
You.
As the one person in this room who can't draw.
I was going to say, we had a remote game, so we never had to, like, got to sit there and do weird doodles together.
No, but I do have a mug with a weird doodle on it from that game.
It finally broke.
Oh, no!
Yeah, from Yuma Station. Is it Yuma Station?
Yeah, Yuma Station.
Yeah, we had a lady business, a shady business.
Oh, no.
That's awesome.
Our characters should not be allowed to go shopping together.
Yeah, no, I didn't try to pay for that.
Nope. I didn't almost have to shoot a bunch of people. It was fine.
It was great. Everything's fine and normal here.
Everything's fine. All right. Let's leave it with that. Dump my drugs with a credit card, kids. That's the theme of this episode.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us for season 33, episode 17. Please support our amazing indie designer of the month, Logan Timmons, at breathingstories.itch.io. Thank you to our chat mod, James V, and to our amazing Patreons who keep us ad-free and independent. You can join their amazing ranks at happyjacks.org/Patreon. Don't forget this Thursday, our new Savage Worlds actual play is starting. They should play in the evening at some time. I know what time it is. It's on the schedule. I don't know off the top of my head, but it is Thursday. And my name is Kimmy.
I'm Clara.
And I'm Sam.
And this week, we are going to leave you with a song called Sand Lobster by our friends, the Dread Crew of Oddwood, who are at this moment on their first tour in many, many years.
Oh, yay.
So check it out, thedreadcrewofoddwood.com, because I guess if you have a cool name like that, why not put the entire name on your URL and see if they're going to be at a pub or small or giant venue or drinking establishment near you at some time, because they are in fact touring America right now. So it's very cool.
Their shows are a lot of fun.
I'm glad they're touring.
Yeah, it's very cool. And they're like, okay, so, like, they're, like, the little baby pirate band in my brain. Like, they always will be, because, like, I met them, and, like, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm young. And then they came, and like, hey, and they're, like, hitting on me. And I'm like, yeah, that is cool. I'd totally go out with you. But, yeah, and you want to go to a bar or something? And they gave me the look of, and then I was like, you can't buy alcohol yet, can you?
No.
And they're like, well, no.
Wait, have they been doing it since before they could drink?
Some of them, yes.
That's so cute.
It's so cute. So they were like, badass pirate singing hard rock on the stage. I can't buy you alcohol if we go out tonight. I'm like, yes, thank you. We just shut this down. You're so sweet. I will clap at your shows. You're really, really beautiful to look at. And you will not be anywhere dating me. No, thank you. So now they are wizened and older.
At least one of them has a kid.
Yep.
Yeah, they are now. That's been way over a decade since
then. Yes.
But in my brain, they are still. And now it's just, like, funny to see them posting, like, on their Facebooks, like, oh, my God, I'm so fucking tired of the show tonight. It's my body's tired. I'm like,
oh. Yes, it's happened.
Time is caught up with you, my friends. Anyway, but they still do amazing shows. They're amazing musicians. Check them out. And yeah, this is a Sand Lobster by the Dread Crew Bot. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Crash landing, red lights flashing, turn this thing around. Check turbine light is on, we're going down. Flying from coast
coast to coast, over deserts and arid skies. We met a new breed of armored beast, and we barely escaped with our lives. It looked like a lobster, but it lived in the sand, with a stinger on its tail and giant claws for hands. It had 8 juicy legs and a shitload of eyes. It had only one goal, to send us to our demise. Charged through the rocks, leaving dust in its wake. We stood there stranded, with no chance for escape. The airship is busted from our constant abuse. The turbine is done for, so let's put it to use. Hit the starter, cut the fuel lines, turn the ship around. Point the engines at that guy, this lobster's going down. Cover it with burning fuel, sear its armored shell. What he gets for failing his attack. He cracked open his shell and snapped off his legs. The succulent sand lobster meat has fed for days. Another high adventure comes to a fiery end. Our heroes all survive and Onward wins again.
This show is a product of the Happy Jacks RPG Network. The Mary Sues performed our intro music, and our ending song was played with the express permission of the artist. Visit happyjacks.org for more information and to find all our streams and podcasts.